The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
And hello America, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. July the 6th, and we are live broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And I hope you're doing well as you celebrated what could very well be the last 4th of July known to mankind. And I'm going to get into that in just a moment. We're honored to have you with us today, and looks like everybody had a great long weekend. And it was so nice to see so many people congregating together, having a good time. They were practicing facial nudity, and it was a beautiful thing. I have never seen so many beautiful faces. And I don't know what it was like in your neighborhoods, but unfortunately, because so many people have been wearing the face burkas, half of the face is suntan and the other half is not. It's a little awkward, a little off-putting, but it'll work itself out. So thank you for those of you who decided, that's it, we're burning the face burkas, we are going to practice facial nudity. The country is better off because of people like you. Now, I want to say something about what we just experienced over the 4th of July weekend, and I want to take a moment of personal privilege on one specific issue. National Public Welfare Radio, NPR, National Public Welfare Radio has an annual tradition on the 4th of July, and they will get all of their staff members together, and they will all read a portion of the Declaration of Independence. They've been doing this for a very long time, using our tax dollars. So this year, NPR decided they were going to include a warning label. So a warning label was attached to the recitation of the Declaration of Independence. And they said that the reason why they needed to warn Americans is because the Declaration of Independence included racially charged language. NPR then went on to disparage the entire document, suggesting that our founding fathers were, in fact, racist. They also said that at the time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence, all men were not created equal, certainly not women. And they were very offended by that. And they went on and on and on and on. It was a horrible thing. They spent the 4th of July disparaging our founding documents, disparaging the Declaration of Independence. I want to read to you the actual warning label that was attached to the NPR reading of the Declaration. Editor's note, this story contains a racist slur against indigenous people. By the way, the racist slur was savages, because Indians in America were, in fact, savages. Not all were peaceful people. They were brutal, brutal, bloody savages. So NPR said the racial slur against indigenous people was horrific. They also go on to say that in the thread of the Declaration of Independence, you can see a document with flaws and deeply ingrained hypocrisies. It also laid the foundation for this country's collective aspirations, the hopes for what America could be. Look, understand what NPR is, ladies and gentlemen. They are a taxpayer-funded, pro-Marxist propaganda machine. They went on to say that the phrase, all men are created equal, was not true. They said that women, enslaved people, indigenous people, and many others were not held as equal at the time. Okay, that's true. But guess what happened? Lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, lo and behold. Over time, guess what happened? There was an effort to make this union more perfect. And now we live in a nation where there are no slaves, where women have the right to get a job and go and vote. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm mistaken, but I do believe that a woman, a female, a person whose pronouns are she and her, happens to preside in the vice president's office at this very moment. Maybe wrong, but I think that's the case. Matter of fact, I think there was a time in American history when a black man by the name of Barack Hussein Obama was actually elected president, not once, but twice, by a bunch of white people in America, who are now accused, by the way. I was reading a story a couple of weeks ago about this, a brief tangent, if you will. Apparently, all of you white folk who voted for Barack Hussein Obama, well, you are guilty of privilege. So they're saying that many of you woke liberals only voted for Barack Hussein Obama because of the color of his skin. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, well, so did a lot of black woke people, too. One of my favorite stories when I was working at Fox News Channel, they sent me out on the campaign trail. We were in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I went over to a large group of black women. They were attending an Obama rally. And I asked a very pointed question. I said, why are you supporting Barack Hussein Obama? And the lady looked at me and she says, honey, why do you think I am? It was the most honest answer I had gotten for that question, because nobody else could tell me why in the world they were voting for Barack Obama. So again, NPR, National Public Welfare Radio, using the 4th of July Independence Day holiday as a moment to disparage and discredit and marginalize the Declaration of Independence. Now you say, well, Todd, yes, this is offensive, this is horrible, but why are we starting out the program with this? Because I believe that when the Republicans retake the House of Representatives in 2022, one of the first items on their agenda should be the defunding of NPR. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of my tax money being used to spew this anti-American propaganda. But there's another reason. About a year and a half ago, I purchased KWAM, the news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. We turned this station, which was, I got to tell you, folks, it was a slum. It was an awful place. The equipment was from the 1970s. It was horrible. Excuse me. So we came in here and we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars upgrading all the equipment. We brought in new staff. We threw out a lot of the leftist programming, and we turned this radio station, the mighty 990, into a conservative blowtorch for all of the Mid-South, because I realized when I came back to my hometown that conservatives did not have a voice. Yeah, there were other radio stations that were broadcasting other programs, but they did not have a local voice. So I decided, you know what? We've got to do something about that. So I bought this radio station. We are a commercial radio station. You say, what does that mean? It means that we have to pay our way. It means that we have to get out there and our team has to sell advertising. Our team holds events out in the community. People sponsor those events, and that's how we get our money. We have other folks that rent our towers. And if you're driving along Interstate 55 across the Mississippi River, you will see the KWAM towers. I own 13 acres of real estate alongside the Mississippi River. And I'm proud of it. Proud of our great team we've assembled here in Memphis. But I have to pay for every single one of those folks, every single one. And you know what just gnaws at me, ladies and gentlemen? You know what angers me? The fact that my tax dollars, the money that I earn is going to fund a radio competitor. That angers me, and that's not right. Why should my hard-earned tax dollars go to fund NPR? If the local NPR station wants to be in business, they ought to go out there and they ought to compete in the marketplace just like the rest of us. We sell advertising. We have great radio programming. Blue chip programs here. And that's what bothers me about all of this. It would be for, give you an example here. Imagine, if you will, that you are the owner of a Chick-fil-A franchise. And you've got an incredible business going. I mean, you're selling chicken sandwiches out the wazoo. And all of a sudden, President Biden announces one day that the federal government is going into the fried chicken sandwich business. And they set up a government-run fried chicken joint right next to your Chick-fil-A. That's the same thing that the federal government has done to every single commercial radio station in America, and it's not right. So maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but I say defund NPR. If they want to spew their anti-American garbage, let them do it using their money and not mine. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We have the live show blog. It's up and running over at toddstarns.com. If you agree, disagree, give us a call. Those who disagree, by the way, you go to the very top of the list. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and when it comes to beef, I don't mess around. I've got to have the best 100% American beef, USDA choice, and absolutely prime. And there's only one place to get that in the good old U.S. of A. My good friends over at Good Ranchers Steak. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com, because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. My friends at Good Ranchers have traveled all over the U.S. of A., and they've met with the actual farmers that raise the livestock to ensure their product, the one they're sending to your table, is the very best. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef and better than organic chicken right to your door. Buy one time, or better yet, subscribe. So stop trying to play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Todd to get $20 off and free express shipping. That's GoodRanchers.com/Todd to get $20 off, or use the code Todd. You know what? Big Bird is doing just fine. He looks pretty healthy, well-fed. Bert, Ernie, we don't judge, but they've got a roof over their head. So why do the taxpayers have to continue forking over money to support these groups? And let's be honest here, folks. Even Sesame Street, they're churning out a left-wing agenda. NPR is absolutely left-wing, and they hate conservatives. So why... why should I, as a radio station owner, be forced to spend my tax dollars supporting the competition? I want somebody to explain that to me. Well, let's go to the phones here. By the way, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. David in San Francisco is listening to us on the live stream. And David, I understand you disagree with me.
Yeah, Todd. I didn't realize he owned a radio station. Does your station take part in the public file, and you've pledged to do public good for the listening audience?
Well, we have to. We follow every single FCC regulation that's out there. So the answer to that question is, if it's an FCC regulation, we do that.
Yeah, but I mean, in other words, a pledge is not just obeisance. In other words, I started in radio 50 years ago. And when I got my third-class radio telegraph with a broadcast endorsement, the swearing in, so to speak, was that I pledged to do good for the community, for the audience. I didn't want to be a parasite and to spread bad information.
And that's why I'm opposed to NPR. They're a parasite spreading bad information, David.
Well, that gets to the point you were talking about the program, and it said that the use of the word savage was you didn't say it was improper. You used a little more in the invective range, but if you just look at the Iroquois Confederacy, the U.S. Constitution included a great deal of what was called the Iroquois Confederacy, their so-called constitution. Our Constitution wouldn't even have been developed if it hadn't been for the Iroquois. So they were more civilized. They were a civilized body here in America, and it was only because of the land profiteers and the, you know, the people like.
Well,
the
David,
Astor
let's. Well,
family.
Hold on. I want to circle, but let's bring this back in here. We're getting off the reservation a little bit here, David.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are, because my issue here is not what NPR had to say. I disagree with that, and I think it's un-American, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. But they've got a right. Hold it. But they've got a right to. David, let me finish. But they have a right to do that. They have a right to spew that crap. But here's where I draw the line. I don't want my tax dollars funding that crap. If they want to say it, if they want to have a radio station, they ought to do what I did. Go out there, save your money, and then buy a radio station. Why should the taxpayers be forced to fund that?
Well, have you ever heard of the corporate state?
What does that have to... David, we're talking about NPR, and I understand you talked to my call screener, and you said this is... It's historical. Yeah, well, it's historical in the sense that it... What? Lyndon Johnson created public broadcasting... Why do we need taxpayer funded PBS and NPR? Why do we need that?
Because early radio, and you're probably aware of this, that early radio, major corporations dominated things. Even the local broadcasters were intimidated by things like the Klan or intimidated by big business. You know the old song sell your soul to the company store? And so for the radio broadcasters to never give honest information to the public and that you wouldn't ever find out about...
Do you think NPR is giving you honest and factual information?
It depends on the program, and I have a lot of problem with the fact that most of the NPR stations don't do local programming. It's actually turned into... 50 years ago when I got started in radio, many of the local NPR stations had local talk shows. But as time has gone on, they've turned all into...
And it's propaganda. It's just propaganda. And that's okay. They can spew propaganda. All right, we're done with David. David, thank you for calling, but we've got to move on here. The issue, folks, is we're funding the propaganda. That's my problem. If NPR wants to hate America, if they want to spit on the flag, that's their right. They can do that. But they don't get to use my money. All right, let's go to North Carolina. William, listening to us on WSIC. William, what's on your mind?
I was just a first-time caller, and I was just agreeing with what you were saying as far as the NPR and PBS and all these left-wing propaganda. That caller obviously doesn't understand that. They're lying all the time. They've been lying for like 3 years. I've been questioning why are we funding these stations, and if they're all putting out left-wing propaganda, even their speakers and people they guess that they have on there are all left-wing propagandists. So, you know, it's just a good point that you bring this up, because I've been asking the same question for like the last 3 years as far as
And William, here's the thing. I don't have a problem. There are some programs I like over on NPR. My issue is our tax money. I mean, if you're not able to make a go of it, then maybe you don't need to be in that business. That's what I say. William, God bless you. Welcome to the program, and give us a call back one of these days. So we got to cut it short. 844-747-8868. The phones are lighting up here. Should Americans be forced to fund NPR and PBS? This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for you, and that's crucial because of your busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. And Mike is making a special offer just for my listeners. You get 2-for-1 low pricing plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but lots of other deep discounts on all MyPillow products. The MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. All right, folks, it is going to be a busy week on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're packing our bags, heading to Dallas, Texas, immediately after Thursday's show. We will be broadcasting from CPAC. It's going to be an incredible weekend in Dallas. I'll be giving a keynote address Saturday afternoon, and not too long after that, President Trump is going to be delivering remarks as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be broadcasting a lot of this on our social media platforms. So if you can't make it down to Dallas, we'll be broadcasting my speech on my website. Also on Sunday, July the 11th. So CPAC is Friday and Saturday. On Sunday, July the 11th, we're going to be speaking at Willow Park Baptist Church in Aledo, Texas. That's Willow Park Baptist Church, Aledo, Texas. We'll be speaking in all three of their morning services, and we'll be doing a book signing after each of those services. Of course, the book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. So we would love to see you out there if you happen to live in Texas. I want to get to the phones here. We're going to move on just briefly, but this NPR thing just really rankles me, folks. It just angers me that as a business owner, I have to support my competition, who's being funded by the government. Let's go to Oregon. Gene is listening to us on the great KYKN. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind?
Well, I think I already told Grace what's on my mind. I'm very in agreement with you, Todd. So keep up this good work in exposing that.
You know, Gene, the problem is nobody wants to listen to liberal talk radio. They remember Air America, and they were making a big deal about that, and it just completely failed. It bombed. I mean, it's just not that entertaining. Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But they're propaganda, and they're not doing what's right, and they are not really for America.
Gene, you're absolutely right, and thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening to KYKN. Let's go to Deanna in Ohio. All right, Deanna, what do you say about NPR?
Well, they've changed, and they're really woke now. Like I was telling Gray, I was delighted to hear about you talking about our taxpayers' money going to all these public announcements that are propaganda, like even on local TV, like the mask wearing and the cable news, just oodles and noodles of them that we're paying for. But that's not right, because it's untruth, not by data. So I'm really glad you brought that up. And I would love to see how we could stop that.
Well, here's how we can do it, Dina. We need to reach out to our Republican lawmakers. And when they retake control of Congress, we need to shove that through and defund PBS and NPR once and for all. Now, and the argument on, and I hear this a lot, well, it's only 2%. It's only 2%. Well, you know what? I don't care if it's like 0.0001%. Not a single penny of our tax money should be going to fund that nonsense.
Amen.
All right, Dina, good hearing from you from the Buckeye State. Thanks for listening to us, and we greatly appreciate that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I have been talking about MyPillow for such a long time now, and because it really has impacted the way I sleep at night. I just love all of the products that Mike Lindell has created. And the pillows are especially unbelievable. And if you have not gotten one, if you are one of the few Americans who have not gotten the MyPillow, let me tell you something. They don't go flat. You can wash them. You can dry them as many times as you want. I have a family member who has had the same MyPillow for a decade, 10 years. And best of all, MyPillows are made right here in the good old U.S. of A. For a limited time, our good friend Mike is offering the premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You're going to be able to get a queen-size premium MyPillow, $29.98. Folks, that's unbelievable. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more, and every MyPillow product comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You're going to get deep discounts on every single MyPillow product, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and, of course, the MyPillow Towel Sets. Just plush, incredible towels. And I never say that about towels. I'm just telling you, I don't. Call 800-839-8506, and you can use the promo code STARNS, but it's a lot easier just to go to MyPillow.com and type in promo code STARNS. You're going to get some great deals, and be sure to tell Mike thank you for supporting the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, I want to go to our good friend Mike from Nuga Radio over on the eastern side of the great state of Tennessee. Mike, I suspect you're going to have something to say about NPR here.
You pushed my buttons, buddy.
Mike, it bothers me. I just
30 years.
It's so aggravating.
Well, you know, a lot of times I say talk show hosts or disc jockeys with an opinion, unless you have qualifications. So I'm going to have to give you my qualifications as a broadcaster and a radio station owner for over 30 years, being in the business for 45. They are disgusting. Let me tell you why they're disgusting. It is unconstitutional for the government to be broadcasting to its citizens. The Voice of America is not allowed to do that. And the Congress was afraid in the 30s that the propaganda machine would be like Nazi Germany. And don't expect our Republican so-called friends to do anything. They controlled the House, the Senate, and the presidency in the 90s. And one of the things I was screaming about is abolish NPR. Abolish them, because how dare you give my competition money, even though nobody listens to them. It's still, people say, Todd, how do you steal here? How do you make money? We knock on doors, get commercials, and if the clients are happy, they pay us. These guys not only get free money to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars a year, they complain when they're under budgeted. Oh, we only received $10 million this year from the federal government. They need to go.
Mike, they do. And again, if they want to launch a for-profit liberal radio station, have at it. Good luck. Best of luck to you. You and I both know that's not going to work. And the reason why is because it's just not all that entertaining. It's not good.
Left-wing radio doesn't work. And even if it were conservative, I'd be against it. It's the principle of government paying, and by the way, you probably know this, government also pays screenwriters and artists in Hollywood to slant their message to the left. And you can see if you go back in old movies, old TV shows, and in the script writing. It's not just NPR. The federal government has been used as a tool by the collectivists for many, many years. NPR is the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Mike, that's why I say it's got to go. It's just got to go. I'm sick of it. And we've got to move on. We just got to do it. Mike, good to hear from you, sir. I hadn't heard from you in a while, so I'm glad you're back with us. And we just love hearing from all of your great listeners out there in Chattanooga.
Well, we can't wait till you come with the book signing. We're waiting for you, and I'm sure you'll have.
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Listeners from North Georgia and Chattanooga.
Oh, no. We're coming, but the reason why we've had to delay our trip, the publisher, they sold out of the first printing. And because of all the China virus stuff, the publishing is now backed up. So we're waiting for, I think they've doubled the next to the second printing of the book. And so we're sort of waiting to see. We would be there, but we would come without the biscuits. And that would be a problem, you know, for a book tour.
Okay, well, we're ready for you.
But we're on the, you will be the first to know. Mike, good hearing from you. Great American patriot. And you folks in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you know all about the great work that Mike is doing there for you guys. Speaking of indoctrination, there is a piece up at Breitbart I want to share with you. Alana Mastrangelo is the author of this. That's a good Italian name, by the way. Have you noticed, and maybe this is just me, but have you noticed that there's been an increase, an uptick in the number of LGBTQIA characters in children's programming? Have you noticed that? Well, Breitbart News has a story up, and here's the headline. Report shows how queer creators spent years pushing the LGBTQ agenda in children's TV programs. This ties right into PBS and NPR. The rise of gender diverse representation is not a coincidence. It shows created and run by queer women, trans, and non-binary showrunners are largely responsible for the influx of non-binary and trans characters in kids' animation. One way activists have accomplished this is by getting around the typical merit-based hiring process and searching specifically for new staff that are members of the LGBTQ community. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment. This is not unusual. When I was at Fox News Channel, there was an effort made to embrace the LGBT journalism organizations, and they literally went out there and they intentionally hired a bunch of LGBT people to work at Fox News. It is overrun. Right now, Fox News Channel, they have a ton of gay and lesbian and et cetera, employees. Now, you can agree or disagree, but that's just the cold, hard reality. So when you see they don't cover the religious liberty issues like they used to, there's a reason why. But they're not the only ones doing this. So all that to say, this is part of a global agenda here to take over communication because you can control the messaging. Now, they did a study here, and they showed a massive uptick. Now, get this, from 2017 to 2019, all right, we're talking 2 years, there was a 222% increase in the representations of LGBTQ identity in children's programs. In 2019, 74 newly debuted or confirmed LGBTQ characters made their way to the screen. So this is all about forcing an agenda upon your children. So one day, when your kids come to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, why are Bert and Ernie making out? What's going on there? You'll be able to explain what's going on here. Because Sesame Street has gone woke. All right, look, we got to take a break here. We're going to get back to the phones. A couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
There are hundreds of companies out there claiming to compare auto and home insurance rates, but there's only one who actually does it.
Get a better insurance rate with Gabby. I know it because I've done it. Gabby is the one true comparison platform with fast, verifiable quotes, not ballpark guesses. As a matter of fact, Gabby helped me find the right policy, and they did it lickety-split. Gabby customers save $961 per year on average, and they'll never sell your information, so you don't have to worry about those telephone calls or robocalls during supper time. So put your policy to the test like I did and get better insurance with Gabby. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to Gabby.com/Starnes. That's GABI.com/Starnes. Gabby.com/Starnes.
No, 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 that is not what I was saying. No, I know how these Media Matters people are. They like to twist everything I say. No, I did not say don't hire gay people. No! As a matter of fact, I believe I'm on record as saying that we should hire people based on their abilities and nothing else. Skin color shouldn't matter. What you do in your bedroom shouldn't matter. Just hire the best person for the job. And if you think I said anything else, you're a moron. I want to quote a great citizen of Wichita, Kansas, Kirstie Alley. Remember her from Cheers? Grace Baker's like, what is Cheers? They don't teach you guys anything, do they, Grace? They don't teach you anything in college.
No, sorry.
Nothing at all. They don't teach it.
Nope.
Great TV program. Ted Danson, back before he got woke. Kirstie Alley says, and by the way, she's talking about the how TV is starting to radicalize children. She goes, was watching TV. We've gone too far, in my opinion. I feel sorry for our children. Their exposure to everything perverse on every kind of screen is mind-boggling, and even more tragic, it's being hyped as normal. And she's got a great point here, because if you've got, let's just say you're a parent, and you've got a problem with a grown man, a big, burly, hairy man, dressed in a skimpy dress, with a feather boa, wearing stiletto heels, dancing and frolicking about with children in the public library, you're the pervert. That's what society tells us now. So I appreciate Miss Alley here of Wichita, Kansas, of setting the record straight. I didn't realize this, but DuckTales, the Disney show, they actually have gay ducks. How do you tell? I don't know. I don't want to know. And Discovery Family, My Little Pony, has now introduced a lesbian pony couple.
See, I grew up with My Little Pony, so that makes me really sad. But on the duck note, I think it's the direction that their tail feathers go. That's what you got to look for.
I'm glad you said that. I am glad you said that, Grace Baker. Let's get... Jeez-a-loo. All right, let's get... Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Karen, listening to us on WDUN. Karen, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. So I thought it was so interesting that you were talking about this because my husband and I have two young boys, and, you know, we're just trying to raise them like the Bible says and, you know, stand up for what we think is right. So I was ordering one of them something. I don't know if I can say the company name here on the program.
Oh, go ahead and say it, Karen. It's just between you and me. Just between you and me.
All right. Well, that's it. So I was ordering something from Pottery Barn for my kid, a book bag. And when I got to pay, when I went to pay, a notification popped up asking me how much I wanted to give to a fund that supports the mental health of LGBTQ and other children. Like, a counseling service for these children. And I was telling Grace, you know, it had the increments you could add to your total. But then in order to click off of that, you know, the font was super small, so it didn't look like you had an option to say, no, I don't want to donate towards this. And, I was telling my husband, I said, I know it's a small amount of money that we would have been giving, you know, to this organization, but I feel like we got to start putting our money where our mouth is at some point. You know, even if it's just $30 here, but I just couldn't believe, you know, it looked like I didn't have an option other than to give to this.
And Karen, look, and if you're a business and you want to support a cause, I've got no problem with that. I've got no beef with that. But when you design the promotion of it, like you just described, as if you don't have a choice, that's when I step in and I'm like, well, wait a second, what's really going on here? So again, I have no problem with, you know, with these left-wing companies wanting to do that kind of thing. But my issue is when, you know, people are forced to do it. And when NPR and PBS are shoving an agenda down the throats of American children, and our tax dollars are being used to accomplish that, that's when I've got a problem. I've got a big problem with it. Karen, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to WDUN, a great radio station there in the North Georgia Mountains. By the way, folks, we have a great show coming up. Congressman Andy Biggs is going to be here. Alan West, who announced over the weekend he is running for governor of Texas, he is going to join us. Also, our good friend Jeffrey Lord is going to drop by as well. When we come back, I want to address this outrageous crime story. Folks, the country's turning into a war zone. And what did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? You defund the police and all you know what breaks loose. All right, stick around, everybody. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. The brightest, most intelligent, the most photogenic, dare I say, the best-looking audience in all of talk radio. There I said it. And the women especially, the conservative ladies of America who listen to this radio program, drop-dead gorgeous. You know what we ought to do, Grace Baker? We ought to have like a Miss Todd Starnes show, like pageant.
You just want to be the judge.
Would that not? Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Well, somebody has to judge.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And considering it'd be the Todd Starnes Show, you know, sponsored, I think you have to be a judge.
And right. And so maybe we could have, like they do in the in boxing matches, we could have like ring attendants.
Oh.
And like in between shows, we, you know, hours, we could have them parade through hour one, hour two. So we're also employing people.
Oh,
so
yeah. It's, you're it's trying to make this. You're trying to pitch this, aren't you?
An economic boost.
Okay.
So we'll run that economy, right? We'll run that at the flagpole and see what happens. Good to have you with us. So over the weekend, did you see this Trump rally? They're saying about 45,000 people turned out in Sarasota, Florida. The conditions were horrible. There were rain squalls, the heat, the humidity, and nobody left. Not a single person left. Only one major cable TV station covered the thing. I went over to see what Fox News was up to. They were in reruns of Waters World. And, who's that liberal chick over at Kennedy over on Fox Business Network? I'm sorry, not liberal, libertarian, allegedly. So they were in pre-tape programming. They did not cover the Trump rally. The only major cable television network to cover the rally was Newsmax TV. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us from Newsmax our good friend Emerald Robinson. Emerald, good to have you with us today.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you.
And, you know, I have to say, great job over the weekend. I mean, Heather Childers did a terrific job interviewing President Trump. You guys just had this wall-to-wall coverage.
Yeah, we did. And, look, that's what our viewers want to see, and you really can't get it anywhere else. Heather did a great job. It was fun to see her. I was actually cooking dinner for my family, and I had it playing in the background. I didn't realize she was going down there. But it was fun to see her sort of off the desk and down there. She looked like she had a great time. You know what the Trump rallies are like. They are just a lot of fun, too. There's a lot of positive energy. People are excited. And so the viewers are very excited, clearly, as well. We just get lots and lots of viewership from it. So in some ways, too, it always surprises me about the other network, because it's also just a good business decision, you know?
Well, you would think so. I mean, it's a ratings bonanza for Newsmax, and that's certainly been proven with the ratings coming out. Emerald, at the same time, you had 45,000 people coming out to see President Trump in Florida. You had maybe a few dozen people showing up to greet Joe Biden in Michigan. I mean, the compare and contrast, it's just remarkable.
Less than 30. And then for his address, July 4th address, the numbers was 10,000 viewers on the YouTube channel for the White House, which is just kind of startling.
Is that right? That is fast. I was not aware of those numbers. It's, again, Emerald, there's such a disconnect. I mean, when you look at President Trump and the enthusiasm, you know, people are coming out to these rallies. We saw it in Ohio. We saw it in Florida. There are going to be other rallies coming up here. What does that tell you as a journalist when you see that sort of a movement?
Well, it tells you that the movement goes beyond just the 45th president, Donald Trump. And I'll tell you what else tells you that is that I was down on the southern border reporting last week, Todd. And of course, you know, Donald Trump was down there. He did a roundtable. Then he had remarks at the southern border wall. But what I wasn't prepared for and really surprised me is when I was reporting in different areas of the southern border wall that Trump actually didn't even visit, I would be standing there doing my reports, like in this one area called Hidalgo. It's next to the cartel war town of Reynosa. I was sitting there doing my reports, and Trump supporters were coming to the wall to take pictures with the wall.
Is that right? It's almost like a tourist destination.
It's almost like a tourist destination, and it was interesting. I spent a lot of time talking to a lot of people.
What are they saying about the border crisis down there?
Well, look, they're very concerned. I talk to people from like Arizona and Texas, and clearly they're in the states that are most affected, but it's moving well beyond it. I'll tell you, it was very eye-opening for me. And you know I talk about this all the time because I've covered this a lot, but from afar, here at the White House or going to the Department of Homeland Security or, you know, dealing with briefings at the Health and Human Services Department that deals with these migrant children. But when you're on the ground there, Todd, it's a completely different thing. I'm also a mother, so clearly, you know, it affects me in sort of a personal way. I was leaving McAllen after having reported from the border, which was just incredible. I ran into a former FBI counterintelligence agent who's now down there contracting and working to fight human trafficking of women in those border towns. And her stories she told me were just gut-wrenching. I had known her here in D.C. and New York when she was doing counterintelligence work. But when I was leaving the McAllen airport, I could not believe the amount of young children, you know, younger children, mostly girls, who were in the airport by themselves with manila envelopes saying where they were going. It had their routes, you know, their connecting flight. It had a script saying that they would probably need help. There were young women who didn't look like they could be over 18, but, I mean, they probably were, but it was hard to. They had babies on their backs and in their arms, had no idea. They looked so frightened. And 75% to 80% of my flight from McAllen, Texas, Houston, Texas, were these migrants. It is a true crisis. I talk to people in these border towns, just regular citizens with businesses. They say that the crime is getting so bad, they're moving their families out. They're trying to find safer areas, especially in that Hidalgo area that I was in, because the cartel crime, the cartel war, is bleeding across the border. It's making it hard for them to function and live.
It's a sad thing. And, you know, what our fellow citizens have to go through living along that southern border and the crime they are exposed to is just outrageous. So, Emerald, we appreciate the great work you're doing over at Newsmax, and we appreciate you bringing us the truth of what's really going on down there at the border.
Thanks, Todd, and likewise to you and your show. But, I mean, it really is affecting the rest of the United States. They're flying. Some of these children are getting flown into, like, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
They were in the middle of the night. Government officials didn't know, state and local officials. But also there's the question of this now vetting process, too, right, as to these sponsors. They've lessened the restrictions for who can sponsor these children, the vetting process. And I talked to some people who used to work in the Trump administration who are particularly concerned about that because they say that just increases the risk that they're getting trafficked.
All right, Emerald, we're going to have to leave that. Emerald, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave that there. Again, we appreciate you coming on the program. Emerald Robinson from Newsmax TV, folks. You can watch Emerald tonight on Newsmax. By the way, that situation in Chattanooga, it's getting even worse. We're getting some inside reports and intel that those children that were flown into the dark of night, the illegal alien children, flown, many of them, by the way, they call them children. Many of them are teenagers. They have been sexually abused and assaulted in these camps. Nobody knows what's going on. They're not telling the governor of the state of Tennessee anything. This is all in the Biden administration. And nobody's covering this story, but we're getting intel, and we're going to be taking a very hard look at what's happening once these kids are just dumped off into our neighborhoods. All right, before we have to go to a break, I want to bring in our good friend Gene the Superfan. You remember last week, first person in line. Gene, what was it like there at the big Trump rally over the weekend?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It was something so special, Todd. I mean, every rally is the same as in the love and all the excitement and things like that. But let me tell you, you know, I was in the first row, front and center, eye to eye with our president, and it was just unbelievable, Todd. And, you know, you said 45,000 people, you know, and it's such an honor because, you know, when you're first online, you're even the first couple, you know, you're there to represent. We all represent. But it's an honor to say out of 45,000 people that you were first online.
Oh, no doubt about that, Gene. And just the fact that the mainstream media, and you have to include Fox News in this now, the mainstream media, they're turning a blind eye to this, thinking, I guess the thinking is, well, if we're not covering it, then people aren't going to know about it. I don't think that policy is working.
No, it's not. And that's what you said about our movement. It's we the people, our movement. We see, we run the show with our president as messenger. So now with Newsmax and all these stations that love our president, well, look at the ratings. We the people, we dictate this. We dictate, look at Hollywood, the sales down, sports down. Anything that you do and disrespect us and the president, well, you're not going to win. Because with President Trump, we're going to continue to win. And let me tell you this real quick, Todd. You remember when the president said, oh, by the way, the future, let me say that again, the future First Lady says hello. So right when he said future First Lady, we all went crazy. Okay?
Oh,
so that's telling you that our president's coming back and he's going to lead us again.
Well, he's doing something. I can tell you that much, Gene. And he was out there getting wet with all the rest of you guys as the rains were coming down. But he was making a great connection over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Let me just tell you real quick about the rain. It rained on us twice. I'm talking downpour. We all stood up. We were dancing. We were chanting USA. It was unbelievable, Todd. Not one of us there left. And that just shows you what this man means to us. And it's all about, once again, it's all about love with this man.
All right, Gene, we appreciate you checking in, and good work as always. You did a terrific job painting a visual picture of what's going on down there. You know what? Let's get Gene, Grace, don't hang up, Gene. Let's get Gene a copy of our Daily Biscuit, so at least next time he'll have something to read as he's waiting in line there.
Oh, nice.
So, Gene, we're going to send you a copy of my new book.
And I'm going to send you a copy.
Did we lose Gene? All right, hang tight, Gene. Don't go anywhere. Put him on hold, and Grace will pick up there. Real quick, I want to play some audio here. This is President Trump in Sarasota talking about removing statues. Cut number 8, please.
We won the want to take Mount Rushmore. You've heard this. I mean, nobody's surprised. They want to take down the Jefferson Memorial. They probably don't want to take it down. They want to take the statue of Thomas Jefferson out and replace it with somebody. By the way, let me tell you, you're not going to be happy with the person they want to replace him with. Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Jefferson is being removed from the Jefferson Memorial and being replaced with the Reverend Al Sharpton. I don't think so. No. Well, nobody would have a problem with that, right? No, I could name plenty that they want to replace him with, and not good. It's not good. It's not acceptable. Not acceptable. We stopped that. That was going to, they were heading that way, and I signed the bill. If you touch it, you go to jail for 10 years. And everyone turned around and they went back home.
They sure did. Good for you, Mr. President. They absolutely did. Look, we're going to take a break here, but are you concerned now, based on what you've seen, that the cancel culture movement is coming after holidays like Independence Day? And I mentioned this briefly at the start of the show. We're going to jump into more of this a little bit later. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Department stores in San Francisco getting a little bit of blowback. Turns out, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Turns out that the Target stores in San Francisco have been really suffering. They have been overrun by looters and shoplifters, and there's really not much they can do about it. There's the law on the books that says if you shoplift anything, what, under $900, I believe, then it's just a misdemeanor. So look, the shoplifters, yeah, I know they have no soul, but they're not stupid. So they know they can ride their bicycles into the Target stores or the Walgreens and pick up as much stuff as they can carry and get out, and they're not going to get in trouble. So Target finally made the decision, this is not sustainable for us financially, so we are going to cut our hours. So every Target store in the Bay Area is only open from, 9 to 5. And so the mayor, who is a Democrat, I want to call her London Broil. That's not, her name is London Breed, though. It's not London Broil. London Breed. She is of the ilk of the same cut of the cloth as the mayor of Chicago. No, not from that issue. No, they're just liberals. They're liberal. They hate cops. They've defunded the police, and now their cities are overrun, and so the mayor is upset at Target. Why, how dare you? That's just offensive. Why don't you just hire more security? Because the security people can't do anything. Why don't you hire more cops? Why don't you do something about these stupid laws? So over the weekend, some 400 people across America got shot. I mean, these cities are being turned into war zones. And I'm curious to know what's happening in your town, in your community. I can tell you in Memphis, Tennessee, there was a running, it looked like something out of, I don't know, Black Hawk Down. Remember the movie Black Hawk Down, where they had the street fights? They had the giant fireworks, and these were not just, you know, sparklers. These were honking big, they will hurt you, they will put a hole in you fireworks. And they're literally having a street fight in Memphis, Tennessee, firing these cannons at motorists, people just driving by. Meanwhile, in Chicago, you got more than 90 people shot, 16 people dead, 7 of the injured are children. You've got all of these kids acting like honest-to-goodness savages. They're acting like savages. And the problem here is mom and dad are not raising their children to behave like human beings.
Well, there goes Todd. He just called those people savages.
No, Todd did not. I said they're behaving like savages, causing all sorts of mayhem in the streets of Chicago. It's disgusting. And by the way, Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Lesbian Lightfoot, says, hey, what's the problem? Crime here, it's hunky-dory. And if you disagree with me, you are a racist and you're a homophobe. Or lesbiophobe, or whatever the proper terminology is. Now, we got to take a break here. Lock your doors, America. Over at Newsmax, he was on Greg Kelly Reports last night, and he points out, you know, Mount Rushmore, the fireworks got canceled by the Biden administration. There's a war on patriotism and the flag. Who was it? Cori Bush, the Congress gal out of Missouri, said that the 4th of July is a white people's holiday. We're talking about a sitting member of Congress saying this. And it does make you wonder what's going on in this country. Eric Trump says there is a war on this country. There is a war on the flag. He says it's one of the reasons his father ran to become commander in chief. And it's one of the reasons he won as well. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from the great state of Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, hope you had a happy Independence Day.
Todd, it was a great day to be an American, and every day is a great day to be an American.
You know, Congressman, I'm always a long game kind of a guy here, and I've been writing about these attacks on the culture for many years. And after the Juneteenth holiday became a federal holiday, and I don't begrudge that one way or the other, but my concern now is that I think this was all built around the idea of taking out the 4th of July, Independence Day. And Congressman, I know this may sound ludicrous, but I think we need to really be at least aware of this and possibly even concerned about it.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I listened to the debate from the leftists in Congress on the floor talking about this, and some of them said, you know, the 4th of July is not their holiday. That's for them, the national holiday would be the Juneteenth holiday. And this was part of my problem with that expression, is that they called Juneteenth the National Independence Day. But our Independence Day was July 4th. 1776. That's our Independence Day. Yeah, National Emancipation Day, that's fine. I'm perfectly content to celebrate that. But the reality is this constant attack on who we are as a people, everything from CRT to these racial wars from the athletes and members of Congress, Maxine Waters and the squad, to attacking police and the rule of law, for Pete's sakes. All of this is a left-wing attack, and this is no different than that. It is, they want to make over. This is part of the Obama promise to make over a new country. That's what he wants.
I mean, you had the New York Times over the weekend, and this is all during – and this would almost be like all of these papers publishing horrible things about MLK on MLK Day. You've got the New York Times – claiming the American flag alienates people. A Washington Post says the Statue of Liberty is the symbol of hypocrisy. Then you've got National Public Welfare Radio, NPR, bashing the Declaration of Independence as a racist document. I mean, it doesn't take a master's degree to figure out where all this is going.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, think too. I mean, you have a 92-year-old veteran playing the national anthem on a harmonica, and people who are on a team that is supposed to represent our country in the international competition turn their back on it. And so you got the athletes doing that. You've got You've got the 1619 Project author, the pseudo journalist, the wanting tenure, and then she didn't get tenure exactly the way she wanted it. She wanted it delivered a certain way. If it wasn't delivered a certain way, then she didn't want it, so she rejects that. I mean, this is permeating our culture. We are in a real culture war right now, and the culture will be determinative of policy and politics as we go forward.
Congressman, I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to what happens in 2024. I think there are a lot of great people out there in the Republican Party who would make great presidents. But I got to tell you, I don't see anybody at all pulling in the crowds like Donald John Trump has. Do you believe he is going to be the presumptive nominee?
Yeah, I don't know how any other Republican could beat him in a primary. Think of it this way. In my state, his approval rating right now sits about 88 to 90% amongst Republicans. That's enormous. That is huge. And I think that's pretty consistent with Republicans throughout the country. You're going to have a few never-Trumpers, you know, the Liz Cheney types out there, the neocons. And then you're going to have some people who just, you know, they would rather have a socialist who's basically cognitively incapable of functioning as our president than to have a mean tweet. And, you know, so you're going to face that. But I will tell you this, the great middle is waking up to the woke crowds that are, you know, the CRT crowd and the anti-American crowd. And you couple that with inflation and jobs and lockdowns and the school unions, I think he's got a great chance to become a president, the 47th president as well.
It's going to be fascinating to watch all of this play out. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman, one other thought here regarding the crime that has been spiraling out of control in our city centers. Over the weekend, Chicago, a war zone, you have the mayor saying, well, anybody who says it's a war zone is a racist and a homophobe. Now you've got a lawmaker out there. Gateway Pundit had the story, and a lawmaker says, well, if you support funding the police and if you have a problem with crime, that makes you just like the KKK. I mean, it's just, what are these people thinking?
Yeah, I mean, she's in the DA's office in San Francisco. They don't prosecute anybody anymore. What they're thinking is just so aberrant. I mean, I don't understand it, because the vast majority, when we start talking about 75-80% issues cutting across all political lines and all demographics, this would be one of those where people want to feel safe in their communities. And it doesn't take a genius to understand that if you defund police, if you take down the police and don't give them material and training and money and funding, guess what? They're not going to respond. They're not going to be able to respond, and crime's going to go up. You have, in Portland, homicides up over 500% this year. Atlanta, almost 60%. It's all of these places going up. And last year, last weekend, over 130 people murdered in this country. And these people continue. When I say these people, the leftists continue to release people back on the streets. They continue to advocate for sanctuary cities, and they don't prosecute these people. So there's no deterrence. There's no rule of law in many places in this country, and that is a recipe for a vacuum that they will try to fill with an authoritarian type of governance.
All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the great insight there. Thank you again, and glad you had a good 4th of July celebration.
Yes, thank you, too, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Grace Baker, I'm very concerned about the story you sent me.
Which one?
From Austria.
Oh.
A man in Austria was bitten by a python.
Yeah, I remember that one now.
Over 5 feet long.
Yeah.
The guy got up, and he does what every guy does in the morning hours. He has his daily constitution, if you will. He's sitting there on the royal throne.
Yes.
Minding his own business. When the 5-foot python comes slithering up and bit him in the nether regions.
Ow.
The victim, 65 years old. This happened right around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yikes, that's a terrible wake-up call.
After he felt a nip in the nether regions, he jumped up and he discovered an albino python there in the commode.
Now, you said it was about 5 feet long, but these things can grow bigger, way bigger than that.
Very large. Very large.
Any snake's a bad snake in my book. I don't care how large or small it is.
They say the snake apparently escaped from the apartment of the man's neighbor and somehow made it into the drainage system.
Yeah.
And they called a reptile expert. No, I would have just retrieved my gun. And I would have taken care of the snake right there.
Oh, when you felt the bite?
Mm-hmm. That's not good. That's not good. The man, police say that the neighbor kept 11 non-venomous constrictor snakes and a gecko in his apartment.
And a poor gecko.
Well, he was
the Geico gecko?
I was the insurance guy. Oh. They got to have insurance.
You got that many snakes.
He kept the snakes in his terrariums and drawers, not like his britches, you know, his pants, the drawers as in, you know, chest of drawers.
Yes.
So he's now facing an investigation of suspicion of causing bodily harm by negligence. This reminds me of an incident in Staten Island, New York, where a guy was doing his morning constitution and he felt something nibbling on his bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy jumps up and looks, and there's a squirrel in the commode.
Oh.
An honest to goodness squirrel. And so the guy did what you would think. He just slammed the commode and he flushed, and then the poor squirrel got stuck.
What was the squirrel doing in there in the first place? Looking for nuts?
So they called apparently so. And the guy calls the police. The police show up. And imagine, if you will, though, I mean, from the perspective of the squirrel, you're thinking, you know, you're in this porcelain day spa. You know, you're just having the good life.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hard day of collecting nuts and berries, and you're going to sit down and take a little break. And you've got the swirl of the water every time there's a flush.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden,
everything goes dark.
Everything goes dark. All of a sudden, there's a shadow on the horizon. And and then suddenly you're plunged into darkness.
That's terrible.
So the police, they get there, they open up the commode, and they discover, Grace, that the squirrel drowned.
Poor little guy.
Which I guess when you take it all into context, it's true what they say. Crack kills.
Yep. It's true. Oh, and I thought mine was bad.
I'm just saying. It is what it is. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns. Wow, that was bad, wasn't it? Wow. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. And folks, if you have not already done so, I just can't tell you how encouraging it's been to get letters from many of you who've been reading the brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit. Usually it goes like this: Todd, I love your political books, but the Biscuit book is probably your best book. And so I just want to say thank you. And if you have not gotten yourself a copy, do so. I will say this. Most people are saying it makes a great Christmas present. So you might want to go ahead and snag one while you can. You say, Todd, where can I do that? Simple. Go to your favorite bookstore. Or if you would like me to autograph a copy, all you have to do is go to toddstearns.com, click on the store, and we will get you a signed copy of the book. A new survey is out, and this is a shocking survey. A majority of young Americans, 18 to 24, are no longer proud to be American. That's according to the survey. In another incident at Georgetown University, Campus Reform interviewed a number of students, and we're going to play some audio in the next hour of the show. A number of students said they were embarrassed to be identified as an American. Embarrassed to be an American, ladies and gentlemen. Now, where do you think they're getting this nonsense from? Is this something that's happening at home? Are moms and dads teaching their kids to hate our country? Are moms and dads teaching their kids to hate capitalism? Are moms and dads teaching our kids to embrace socialism? What's going on here? Or is it possible, as we have been talking about on this radio program for a number of years now, is it possible that this is the work of our public schools and our university system, where now you have kids as young as 3 and 4 years old being indoctrinated in the public school system? And by the time they get to high school, they've already been radicalized. And many moms and dads are just so busy with their lives. Dad's working, mom's working. They don't have time to pay attention to what your kids are learning. They don't. And this reminded me of a speech Ronald Reagan gave. You know, he once said that American exceptionalism starts at the supper table. This idea that we need to get back to the basics of this country, and if we don't, we're screwed. So there's a quote, and you know this quote. You know this quote. Freedom is never more than one generation from extinction, right? We all know that quote, but there's more to the Ronald Reagan quote. This was in a terrific speech he gave. And President Reagan said, hey, look, we're not like other countries. We don't pass freedom to our children in our bloodstream. So when a child is born, they don't have freedom in their bloodstream. We've got to fight for it. And when you fight for it and you secure it, you got to protect it. And then when you protect it, you've got to hand it down the line. And as Reagan said, if we don't do that, we're going to spend the rest of our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. That's a scary thing to think about. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And you look at all the things that are happening in our society right now. It is a frightening and shocking proposition. But I got to tell you, I think this may be the generation Reagan was talking about. And unless we step up and unless we intervene in our public schools and in our communities and most importantly in our homes, this could be known as freedom's extinction generation. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Folks, stick around. We've got one more hour coming up next.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You proud to be an American?
No. I feel embarrassed to be an American every day. I think a lot of things about this country are really embarrassing. Just like, I mean, racist history, colonization, even currently, just what's going on with politics and the cops.
Not really in this climate. No, like, I'm a black person. So obviously I experience a lot of, there's like oppression that comes with that.
Not most of the time. I think sometimes it's just a little embarrassing. We claim to like support everyone, but you know, we continue to support Israel, which is, you know, which are dislocating quite a few Palestinian people. And that's, you know, it's sad. I don't know.
No. Be proud of what? And what is there to be proud about if you're black and being like, you know, because it's just like it's still a lot of stuff that goes on for black people.
I think that's a complicated question for me. I think I
I think most of the time, no. At least over like the past 4 years, it's been tricky to, you know, love to be an American.
Halfsies on that.
Like, partly, because, like, I feel like there's certain topics where it's, like, very controversial, but, like, I don't know. I just think that our economy just cares about money and not, like, our, like, they're humans, like, yeah, in general.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, those children you just heard are little urchins who are enrolled at Georgetown University. Now, Grace Baker, where's Grace? Grace, turn your microphone on.
I'm here. No need to shout.
I know you went to a public school.
I did.
University of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
What was the tuition at University of Memphis?
Oh, roughly $9,000.
Well, that's not too bad.
Give or take, per semester.
So you graduated probably with a little student debt.
None.
Scholarships,
hard work.
Look at you.
Help.
Yep. Because you're a conservative.
Supportive family. Yes.
All right. Good for you. Well, good for you. I did a little research here. So we heard from these children. And, you know, at first you sort of feel like it's Sally Struthers from All in the Family, you know, with the...
Sorry, that reference is lost on me, but
well,
sure.
It's, you know, with the dog edge, you know, the dogs that are, you know, mistreated and they have the commercials on
late
at night.
Oh, the ASPCA commercial.
ASPCA, yes.
Yes. Arms of an Angel, yep.
And that song, I just can't stand
that
song.
I can't. I turn it off right away.
So you, when I hear those children who just explained how traumatized and oppressed they
yes.
were, I felt like that song should be playing.
Probably. That's accurate.
Who's the singer of that song? Do we know? She's horrible.
I'll find
it's almost like Josh Groban, my nemesis, my arch nemesis now. So as Grace is looking up this information, we did a little bit of research because, look, if there is a child in America that's being oppressed, then we here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show want to stand in solidarity with those people. We want to be able to help those young people get a leg up in America because... We don't believe in racism here. We don't believe in putting the man down. We don't believe in putting a jackbooted thug boot of government on the throats of any person of color in America.
Of course not.
Who sang the song?
Also, okay, so it's Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, it's Sarah McLachlan. Is it McLachlan? McLaughlin?
McLachlan.
I can't stand that song.
McLachlan.
The commercial ruined the song. I mean.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
And you know, this is how this is going to be portrayed in Media Matters.
Yeah.
Starnes endorses abuse of animals.
And hates kids
and puppies.
Oh, yeah.
But I really don't. I love puppies.
Merlo likes you.
And Merlo, we have a good relationship.
Yeah.
A good rapport.
Here's my thing about these Georgetown kids. I'm just like, you know, if these were at some random public school university, I'd be a little less disappointed.
And here's the point. It cost $56,000 a year to go to Georgetown University.
And I'm sorry, but I feel like just listening to these kids, I got a much better education at a public university.
$56,000 a year. These people are not oppressed. They're morons.
Yep.
Who spends that kind of money?
Oh, yeah. And in the video, you know, some of these kids have like fancy purses or backpacks. And then, you know, you got the girl with her Starbucks cup. I'm like, come on.
These people don't know oppression. What they ought to do is we ought to take up a collection, and we should start, I don't know, some sort of a nonprofit.
Okay.
And we should send these children to live in the Middle East for a semester. Send them to Iran.
Study abroad.
Yeah, study abroad.
That's what we had at my school, study abroad.
You might come back. Let's send them to North Korea, and then we can talk about oppression.
I think oppression to them is like having to wait in the Starbucks line for more than 10 minutes.
And then they get your name wrong.
Oh, yeah, spelled the name wrong.
And the coffee cost an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, and then it tastes burnt. It tastes burnt. It's bad coffee. So the point is, and there's a buzzword, there was a word that was used, Grace Baker, that exposes this for what it really is. Because I can guarantee you, that none of the children attending Georgetown University, when they step foot onto campus, by and large, most of them were good, God-fearing American patriots.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't like this.
But they got radicalized in the classroom.
Yep.
And the code word is what the... Can we play this again? I just want to hear this again. Let's play Cut That Cut again, please.
Proud to be an American?
No. I feel embarrassed to be an American every day. I think a lot of things about this country are really embarrassing. just like, I mean, racist history, colonization.
There it
currently,
is.
Just what's
Stop
going
right
on with-
there. It's colonization. That is, folks, these teachers are operating off of talking points. This is all part of the propaganda they're spewing into our classrooms, making these kids hate America. They're trying to turn us into Venezuela. And this is one American who's not going to be eating zoo meat like they're doing in Venezuela. The poor people down there, they have no food. They got to go to the local zoo, kill a zebra. Nobody wants to eat that. Nobody wants to eat a puma. This is America. We eat cheeseburgers. By the way, did you realize, Grace, that fireworks are racist? Did you know about this? Did you hear
about
this?
Yeah, I did not know this.
So a study was done. You know, our country is screwed. I mean, screwed.
What was your first clue?
So a study was done, National Geographic, and they say that fireworks at 4th of July are racist because the smoke pollution disproportionately hurts minorities.
I hate that studies are being done on this kind of thing when it could be so much more valuable studies going on.
Well, so here's what I don't understand, because I was in a Germantown, Tennessee, which is a lovely suburb, and we were right there with the fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
Me too. In the neighborhood.
Yes.
My hood, if you will.
That.
And I will just say that my neighborhood is predominantly of the Caucasian persuasion. Honky.
Okay.
And I saw the smoke from the fireworks, and my initial thought as I saw the smoke wafting about over Germantown was, oh my, I feel like we're being exposed to air pollution.
Okay.
There weren't any people of color in the, in the crowd. It was white folks. And of course I didn't think that. You know what I thought? Wow, look at those awesome fireworks.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom,
I was watching the show.
Boom.
Blowing stuff up.
While singing,
America.
You know, while singing Lee Greenwood.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not a dry eye in the crowd.
When I hear that study, I'm just like, are you saying that only minorities shoot off fireworks? I'm really confused.
You know, people are stupid. There is an effort afoot, ladies and gentlemen. There is an effort afoot to divide us. And they are going to make everything about race. Everything. That's why Maxine Waters coming out and saying, and Cori Bush saying that the 4th of July is a white man's holiday. That is the most outrageous and offensive thing. That is a racist thing, by the way. My good friend Congressman Mark Walker sent me a column and a statement. And he says Maxine Waters needs to resign. And this guy, Mark Walker, by the way, running for the Senate there in North Carolina. When Maxine and others proclaimed that our founding fathers were racist, I'm reminded of John Jay, our first Supreme Court Chief Justice. In 1776, he stated that the gospel is yet to be preached to those western regions, and we have the highest reason to believe the Almighty will not suffer slavery and the gospel to go hand in hand. It cannot. It will not be. Our founding forefathers had never experienced such freedom, but believed it could be possible. And this is Congressman Walker now speaking. Though aspirational at first, America is exceptional because we never quit trying until we reached our fundamental belief that all men are created equal because they are created by God. And Mark Walker, to his credit, says, Maxine Waters, you are the problem with America. Your goal is to divide and conquer because you and your cronies are all about maintaining your power. Resign. That's good for you, sir. And we need more people standing up like that. It's just nuts. This is the greatest country on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. You can be anything you want to be here. You can live your American dream. That American dream may be a double-wide trailer, or it may be a 10-bedroom mansion. Your American dream may be to work at a convenience store, a Wawa or a 7-Eleven, or it may be to own the Wawas and the 7-Elevens. Whatever your dream is, everybody has a different dream. Everybody has different aspirations. And I love what John Jay said, because this was an argument that was taking place even back in 1776. And here we are, a more perfect union than we were in 1776 because of the brilliance of our founding fathers and the documents they crafted. Are you proud to be an American? And what are you telling the younger members of your family who are being exposed to this anti-American propaganda in the classroom? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Seriously, Grace, somebody has a problem with what I said about that song.
They have a bone to pick with you.
In the arms of the angel.
Of an angel, yeah.
All right, let's go to the lines here. No, stop. No, stop. Stop. Jeez, Lou. All right, let's go to Carrie, listening to us on KWAM in Memphis. All right, Carrie.
Now, what's your problem with this song?
Gary, it's so mournful.
No, I love the song. In fact, I love to hear Miss Jackie Evancho do the song. It's beautiful with her voice.
I mean, the lyrics don't exactly. I mean, you're driving down the highway with the windows rolled down in your pickup truck. A beautiful sky, and that song comes on. It's just hard to kind of get it, it's so sad. And then it's the commercial, Carrie. Every time I hear the song now, I think about those poor animals.
Oh, well, I guess I've missed the commercial. I hadn't seen the commercial, but certainly Miss Jackie has a beautiful voice, and I think it's a beautiful song.
All right.
In fact, she's the only one I want to hear the perform that song.
Is it Sarah McLachlan is the one who sings it though? Turn that off.
It's on Jackie's it's on at least one of Jackie's first albums.
All right. Well, Carrie, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this, my friend. I can't. Ooh, sweet mercy. Thanks, Carrie. Appreciate you. It's kind of like the Barney the Dinosaur. You know, there're just some songs.
Barney the Dinosaur.
Yeah, that Barney the Dinosaur song.
Oh, the You Love
No, me. Don't sing it because it'll be in my head the whole day. Don't sing
One
it.
One big happy family.
No, stop. But, I mean, when you look at the lyrics, I mean, this is a very sad song.
It is super sad. How has he not seen an ASPCA commercial ever?
I don't know.
Like, do you live under a rock? Maybe it's just I watched too much Animal Planet growing up, but.
I won't let him on the radio station because I don't want to hear that song. It's just like the Barney the Dinosaur song.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait a minute. Do you hear something? With the friends we love.
I love you. All right. Who am I firing after the show?
Not
who gets
me.
Fired?
I didn't do it.
Who gets fired? You know, Rush never had to deal with this. Rush never had to deal with this. An insubordinate staff. Jeez,
what happens when you marry us youngsters?
All right, let's go to the phones here. Keith on the talk station. Keith,
I'm sorry, Todd. You just made me laugh. Do like Blazing Saddles. Blame it on the dog.
Now that, my friend, that's my kind of a movie right there.
You can't do that anymore.
No,
you know,
no.
I called old Todd. You really stirred my pot when you're talking about these kids. My youngest daughter is like 23, and she's got one of these liberal educations too. And you cannot argue with her because she thinks she's right. But at the same time, if she needs anything, she calls me. You know, I was in the military, 40 years ago when I got out. My whole family's been in the military. And these kids, they have, and I'm here at North Carolina by Camp Lejeune, these kids have no idea that the only reason they can do what they do is because of the people in the military. You know, we celebrated the 4th of July, and yes, we had fireworks. I don't understand them. I don't know where they're learning it, but the media is not helping either.
No, the media is not. And the military, I mean, they're being turned into this woke social justice brigade, which is even more troubling. But then, Keith, when you look at what's happening in Israel, where every citizen has to serve in the military, I like that because everybody has skin in the game.
I argued that point. I said, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. You can do the administrative part.
That's true.
Everybody ought to join for 2 years.
Mandatory military service. I like that idea. And I think, again, now the question is, okay, well, what's happening in the military? Because they may come out just as woke in the military as if they had gone to Harvard or Yale or Georgetown University. That's a big problem in my estimation.
Not my son-in-law.
Well, you're a great American. All right,
anyway,
Keith.
Todd, that really got my goat. You guys have a great week.
All right, you too now. Appreciate you calling in there. Great patriots in that part of the country, folks. A lot of military bases down there in that part of the Carolinas. And we're going to be down there later this summer on our Big Biscuit book tour. But Keith offered up this idea of the draft. And if I hear one more song like Barney the Dinosaur, I will personally send a couple of our staffers into the military. Well, that sounded a bit harsh. Whoops. But I'm curious to get your thoughts about that. Do you think that would fix the problem here, folks? Mandatory military service? 844-747-8868. Do you think the military, those drill instructors, could jerk a knot in America's urchins? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Listen up, Jen Psaki, the redheaded spokes gal of Joe Biden, just told reporters that the Biden administration is going to start going door to door to check to see if you have taken the China virus vaccine. She said this mere moments ago. We're efforting the video. But she said the Biden administration intends to go door to door to harass. Well, she didn't use the word harass, but harass Americans about taking the China virus. She says the president will outline 5 areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. 1, targeted community by door to door outreach to get the remaining Americans vaccinated. Well, all I can tell you is I hope they do show up at my front door. I can promise you this. We'll have the cameras running when that happens. Unbelievable what's happening in America right now. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, folks, this coming Thursday, we're heading down to Dallas for CPAC. I'll be giving a big speech on Saturday before President Trump, which I'm really relieved about, because you don't want to be the guy that follows President Trump because nobody's there. Everybody leaves. So at least we'll have a good audience there, which is terrific. I'll be giving a speech on religious liberty. And then Sunday, we're going to be speaking at a church right outside of Fort Worth, Texas. We have that information up on our website. We would love to see you during our visit to the state of Texas. And that's where we are going right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, great American hero and patriot, Alan West, who is now running for governor. Alan, good to have you back with us.
It's good to be with you, Todd, and I look forward to seeing you down here for CPAC. I'll be speaking on Sunday morning.
Fantastic. I got to tell you, Alan, I'm glad they're getting these conferences out of Washington, D.C. It's really nice to and refreshing to have them in places like Florida and Texas.
Yeah, we need to take it out to the people, and because Washington, D.C. is not the center of the universe. What we have to understand is as long as we have strong constitutional conservative states, we're going to have a strong America.
You know, Alan, there was a lot of surprise, I think, by folks when you announced that you were running for governor, going to be challenging Greg Abbott. I want you to take us through the process there, the thought process. Why are you in the race?
Well, as I stated in my announcement video, you know, I've been sitting on the sidelines out of political office now for 10 years, going around the country, spreading the word and things of this nature, trying to get people to understand constitutional conservatism. I kind of came off of the bench a little bit as chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, but when you look at what is happening in America with an administration, like you just said, they're going to go around from door to door and start to ask people if they've been vaccinated. This is why we have to have strong leadership at our states, and especially here in Texas, where we see the abdication of the constitutional duty of the federal government to protect our sovereignty. And we've got a video out there where 2 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning down in the Roma, Texas area, I was right there on the Rio Grande River and watched some 80 illegal immigrants be ferried by raft across the river into Texas.
Alan, let's talk about Greg Abbott here for a second. You know, he's the governor. There are some establishment Republicans who say this is nothing more than sabotage. It's going to give the governor's office over to the Democrats. Why are you jumping into this race? What do you have against Greg Abbott?
I don't have anything against Greg Abbott, and I'm not running against Greg Abbott. I'm running for Texas. I'm standing on the principles of the rule of law and our constitutional conservative principles and values. And if you look at this last legislative session that we had here in Texas, it was an abysmal failure. We had 8 legislative priorities for the Republican Party of Texas that the grassroots selected in the state convention last summer. And these quote-unquote, if you want to call them that, GOP establishment, who continue to believe that they're right and everyone else is wrong and they know how to be in control and power, we can't have that. We cannot lead by trying to be a lesser version of the other side and accommodating, appeasing, and acquiescing to the progressive socialist left. Because when you do, they walk out, as you saw them do in the closing days of our legislative session, which is why we don't have election integrity bills passed here.
You know, Alan, there has been a lot of debate, about, you know, really in the public now, but definitely behind closed doors, about the direction of the Republican Party. Who are we going to be? What sort of a party are we going to be? There are those like the Liz Cheneys of the party and the Adam Kinzigers who want to make us more like the Democrats. And yet you have others out there who truly believe that Donald Trump still has a role to play in this party.
No, I do agree that President Trump has a role to play. We're not talking about his personality. We're not talking about his tweets. We're talking about policies. We're talking about principles. And when you look at his America First policies, just flip back and look at where the gasoline prices were last year and where they are now. Just look at the fact of what's happening with our economy and unemployment and things along that lines. You know, Donald Trump did not pay people to stay at home. Donald Trump created one of the best economies, and in the black and the Hispanic communities, he had the lowest ever unemployment rate. So why do we run away as Republicans from constitutional conservative principles? Because they are successful. People understand what they are. And when we create a clear delineation between ourselves and the Democrats, people want to be on our side, which is one of the reasons why we were successful in flipping the Rio Grande Valley during the November 2020 election cycle.
Alan, I know you are your own man, and you made this decision on your own, but I am curious, did you reach out to former President Trump? Did you have any conversations with him about letting him know that you were going to jump into the race?
No, I didn't, and it was very surprising to a lot of people here in Texas when former President Trump came out and endorsed Governor Abbott. But the thing is that I serve God, country, and Texas. It's not about serving the former president. I will agree with him on policies. But I can see what could happen down the road if we don't secure our border, if we don't get election integrity legislation passed, if we stop the fact that Texas is the number one state in the United States of America for human and sex trafficking, if we don't do something about the property tax reform that we have here, and really the taxation system that we have in Texas is aligned with the principles of Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto. Critical race theory. We've got to get rid of these things because it's undermining the fabric of this state and our nation.
One of the funniest things I saw, and man, folks are coming after you, Alan. You know, the libs, they hate you because you speak the truth, and you do so very effectively. But one of my favorite arguments is, how dare Alan West run in the state of Texas? He's from Georgia. So they've got problems with people from Georgia moving to Texas, but not the illegal aliens.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, in my announcement video, I articulated the fact that the first vice president of the Republic of Texas was Mirabeau Lamar from Georgia. The first secretary of war for the Republic of Texas was Thomas Jefferson Rusk from where? Yeah, Georgia. And the man who was massacred with his troops at Goliad, La Bahia, Colonel James Fannin, also from Georgia. And then, of course, I graduated from the University of Tennessee, and I think we kind of understand why we got the nickname Tennessee Volunteers, because of people like Sam Houston, Davy Crockett, and the 38-some-odd whose names are on the Alamo Cenotaph, because they were defenders there, as well as five Georgians also have their names as defenders at the Alamo.
Well said. Well, I got to tell you, and I know you're a big Vols fan, as am I, and whenever there's a fight, the Tennesseans are the first ones to show up to lend a helping hand.
And that's what this is all about. You know, throughout history, you know, people from Georgia and Tennessee came to Texas to fight for liberty, and I'm just following that legacy that they established.
All right. Alan, where can people go if they want to get more information, donate to the campaign? What's the website?
The website is west4texas.com, west4texas.com, and they can also follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole nine yards. And I invite people to watch the video that we did, like I said, 2 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, from the Aroma, Texas sector right there on the Rio Grande Valley. And you can see how wide open and unsecure our border is.
All right, Alan, we're going to leave it there. Good luck, sir. And I look forward to seeing you this coming weekend in Texas.
My pleasure. Take care, Todd. Safe
travel. All right. Good man right there, folks. And we will be driving down, by the way. I think we're going to do the caravan. So we've got a big group going down, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we certainly hope to see all of you down there. All right, look, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break. We've got a lot of people that want to weigh in on this military draft, and we're going to go right to the phones as soon as we come back, 844-747-8868. Should we have a mandatory military draft? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
You signed up for the new Getter, the social media platform the Trump campaign put together, Team Trump. Getter, GETTER.com. So we were part of the initial team that was invited to launch Pages. And folks, I got to tell you, I love this thing. It is so easy to maneuver through. There's not a lot of stuff. It's a very clean-looking site, and we would love for you to join us over there. It's very simple. Todd Starnes is my name, and you'll see the red check mark. That means it's verified. There are a couple of fake Todd Starnes pages over there. I have the red check mark. That's the way you know that it's me. And we would love for you to join us over on Getter, and we post over there a lot, and it's a lot of fun. All right, let's, as promised, get to the phones. Manny in North Carolina listening to us on The Talk Station. Hey, Manny, what's on your mind?
Hey, sir, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Everything. I'm sorry, can you still hear me? I'm sorry.
You're coming in loud and clear.
You still there, sir?
All right, let's go to Ernie in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Ernie, good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Todd. I look forward to seeing you again on your book tour here in Morehead City.
I hope you're coming down this way.
We are. I got to tell you, Lockwood and the gang over at the talk station would come after me if we didn't show back up. So we're excited about that.
Well, believe me, I'll be there.
Fantastic.
However, I wanted to address your comment about military service.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, Ernie.
You can call it mandatory or a harsher word, compulsive. All I can say is that I wouldn't be where I am today if I had not served in the military. I was a big ship with no rudder when I was 19 years old. I joined the Air Force, and I have benefited throughout my whole life from the training I got. And I would never have achieved what I've achieved today. And I'm looking at 76 years of age.
Is that right now?
So
Ernie, so you went in there, you were kind of lost, didn't have any direction in life, and the military got you pointed in the right direction.
Well, it taught me some discipline, number one. And number two, it provided a training for me that allowed me to go into civilian life and succeed.
Ernie, I think more people need to hear that kind of a message. And I think that if there was some sort of a mandatory draft, every person in America has to put in 2 years. Imagine what this country would look like.
Well, there are always going to be people that it just won't take for them. But I do believe that the vast majority of young men and women who were compelled, I hate to use the word, to serve 2 years, they would come out a whole lot better and we'd have a better country.
Well, look, it's done wonders for the Israelis, and I think they're onto something over there. So, Ernie, God bless you, sir, and thank you for serving our great country. And thanks for listening to us, and we'll see you later on this summer at the book signing. Let's go to Mike listening to us on the talk station. A lot of North Carolina callers today. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, sir.
I'll make it very short. I spent 22 years in the military when I was 17 years old, and I'm retired now. I'm 85 years old. I'm still walking around. But, you know, I served my country for 22 years, and I am 100% with you. They should have a draft to let these young punks get in there and learn what it is about America, to be an American. And that's all I've got to say. I'm just honored that I was in the military for 22 years, and I'm still walking around.
Mike, God bless you, sir. You're a great American patriot, and we honor your service, and you give us a call back anytime. All right, good guy right there, Mike. Look, I think there are a lot of people around this country who feel just like these guys do, that the military can jerk a knot in a lot of these kids that are just wandering around looking for purpose, looking for meaning in life. By the way, I know Avery is off today, but Avery pointed out that the actress who played Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, was a member of the military. She served in the military over in Israel. So she could probably kill you without you even knowing it. So there you go. Hey, look, we just posted this video from the White House press conference. Wow, this certainly escalated quickly. Now, Jen Psaki is saying that the O'Biden administration is in the process of going door to door to root out all of you folks who have not been vaccinated. And we'll have a little bit more detail on what the plan is tomorrow. But, for me personally, I would welcome them. Come on in. Meet my friend, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. These people trying to force us to get this vaccine. By the way, speaking of the military, there are reports out there they are going to force our service members to get this vaccine. We'll get into more of this tomorrow. We're running plumb out of time here. But let me say this. This is unconscionable that we would force our military to take vaccines that, quite frankly, have a very bad track record. Now, all I can tell you is from the reports that we have seen, and these are reports coming from the CDC, the one demographic that is most likely to survive the China virus would in fact be those young men, those young women in the U.S. military. So why is it they are so hell-bent on jabbing whatever that juice is into the arms of our soldiers? Why are they doing that? So we're going to check into that tomorrow and see if we can't get the lowdown from some sources we have there at the Pentagon. Also, a brief reminder, our daily biscuit now available for you folks over on the website, toddstearns.com. We would love to send you a signed copy of our daily biscuit. Go ahead, head over right now because the books are in short supply. So you want to go ahead and get one ordered now while you still can. All right, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. The conversation continues over at toddstearns.com. Be good, America.